Welcome to WebAx, Practical Web Accessibility Tips.
WebAx.blogspot.com.
WebAx. Website Accessibility. Web Standards.
Hello and welcome to WebAx podcast number 82, DQ Labs FireEyes. And again, this is your host, Dennis, and I have Ross on the line.
Hello, Dennis. How's it going?
Pretty well, thank you. How are you?
Doing well. As I mentioned, I've been up since 5 today working, so been productive, but we'll see how long that lasts.
Yeah, you've been pretty busy. So you're flying out to San Francisco for the Voices That Matter conference.
Yeah. So leaving Friday just to spend a couple of days in the San Francisco area just because I've never been. And then the conference is Monday, Tuesday. There's some pretty good speakers. Steve Krug, Dan Cederholm. So it should be interesting.
Cool. So you're not going to stay for Wednesday? I think there's some kind of CSS workshop or something. I don't know.
Yeah. There was one thing on Wednesday, but I don't think my tickets included that. And I already have to miss one day of teaching to do this, and I think they'd frown.
Yeah. Okay, well, hopefully I'll see you there. I did acquire a free ticket through Deborah from Refresh Detroit, so I'm gonna try to make it. That'd be cool.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Speaking of Refresh Detroit, we haven't given them a mention in a little while. They recently had a big Drupal meetup that I guess turned out really well, and there's a nice write-up and review about the event on refresh-detroit.org.
Yeah, Drupal's getting more and more popular, it seems. I'm not a huge fan, I must confess, but certainly is very capable. And actually, Drupal 7, the new one that's supposed to be coming out sometime or another, does look pretty good.
Yeah, I know a couple guys that are, big in the Drupal community, and there's a big accessibility movement within Drupal community, so that's good. And Drupal 7, the new one, is they're really working hard to make it accessible, so that's cool.
Yeah, they're definitely putting effort in the right places. So hopefully that will turn out.
So speaking of meetups and events, a week or so ago I attended my first Bayjax meetup, which is it's the Bay Area Ajax and JavaScript meetup. And I guess it's usually held at Yahoo. So I was at Yahoo, and Dirk Gnader was scheduled to speak, but he had a family emergency, and he kindly asked me to fill in. So that was pretty cool, and I gave a little presentation. Like, in one day, I whipped up a JavaScript and accessibility presentation and spoke. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that is cool. It seems like you could really give some real world examples with accessible Twitter. You know, what you've done to make that.
Yeah, and I did give a few examples using accessible Twitter. And you can view the presentation on WebAx. It's up on SlideShare, and I did make a HTML, real nice HTML friendly text only version. So, I mean, it's not the longest or greatest of presentations, but it has a lot of the good basics, you know. So maybe start
there and do your own research based on that.
Exactly.
Very good. And how is the Yahoo campus?
Oh, very nice. It's kind of in an odd area, but the campus itself is pretty nice. Yeah, there's a few buildings and nice fountain, and the building that I was in, you know, they had the cafeteria, and there's like a game room in the back, and a gym and everything. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, sounds pretty nice.
So did you sign the, switching gears, did you sign the petition for screen reader accessibility for Google Chrome?
I did. And actually, I must confess that I hadn't even come across it until I saw it on the show notes here.
Oh, really?
So I'm definitely going to tweet about it afterwards to try and spread the word. Because I'm surprised that, it just kind of never came across my radar. I don't know if that was just, blinders and missed it or what. But
yeah, I mean, I don't think it's good to, retweet yourself very often. But I think once in a while, if something's important, it's okay to retweet something because you somebody in a different time zone could have missed it, and
right.
And I think this is important enough. I did retweet it a couple times on WebEx, but you must have missed it because I know how closely you follow the WebEx Twitter account.
Very close.
That's right.
But yeah, I think as long as you're not promoting. It's not self-promotion, then retweeting stuff is much more acceptable, In this case, you're kind of tweeting for something else, not your own.
Yeah. So I'm not sure how many people have signed it, but apparently Google, actually just yesterday I found out that they put up a page about the Chrome accessibility, because supposedly before the understanding was it wasn't screen reader accessible at all, but Google, they did just now post a page about, I think it's on the Chromium blog, and they explain the partial accessibility screen reader usage on Chrome, and that they're apparently working on it. So it's a good sign. We're getting the accessibility communities getting traction.
Yeah, definitely, especially if they're kind of responding so quickly.
Yeah,
so that's a good sign. People are making waves, and companies are listening.
And another example of that, bringing us to our next point, is the WebEx blog on the CA.gov website accessibility page. The California website, State of California website, has a page, talking about the site's accessibility. So I went through it and discovered that, for number one, it wasn't written very well, and number two, a lot of the points that they made were either outdated or just weren't working on the site. So I went through the blog, if you haven't read it, goes through each point that they listed on the page and kind of just replies to each one, and unfortunately finds some kind of mistake almost for every one. And like 3 working days later, guess what happened?
They fixed it.
Well, they edited the page at least. They updated their accessibility page, and which was a good start. And they did. I noticed they did fix at least one thing. So now, because the skip to links weren't visible at all on the page, but now if you tab to it, it's visible. So that was at least a good start. But somebody from working there actually left a comment on that blog, which was pretty cool. So actually, I think they left a comment on the follow-up blog about it. So that was neat that they had acknowledged those issues, and they were really cool about it. So
yeah, nice to know that they're paying attention.
Yeah,
and even if they don't make it perfect, at least they're making strides to improve. Which is certainly better than nothing.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, every site is a work in progress, so nothing's ever perfect.
Right.
Let's see. So another event I wanted to mention just briefly is at the end of July, I will be in Indianapolis, Indiana, for the first time. And so that should be cool. There's a conference called the Annual Assistive Technology Conference from Easter Seals Crossroads. And I will be speaking about Twitter and accessibility and accessible Twitter and all that good stuff. So that should be fun.
Great.
Yeah. Have you been to Indianapolis?
I haven't. You know, it's one of those places I've always kind of wanted to go, but
yeah.
never made it out.
Yeah, I've never been either, so it should be interesting. I'll twit pick for you. And
yeah, sounds good. So if they had like a conference in the Indy 500, kind of the same thing, like a week trip.
Or a Super Bowl or something.
Right, that also would work for me.
Okay, so let's see. There's a few news articles we wanted to discuss.
Yep, so it looks like we've got an article from our friend Joe Dawson. Where he's
Did I put this on here?
I don't remember putting it on there, so I assume so.
Yeah, there's a new from the Paciello group. There's a new web accessibility checker application. It's called A-Viewer, and Joe Dawson blogged about it and has a little write-up about it. So I guess what's different about it is that in addition to inspecting ARIA, it dives into the DOM really well. I haven't tried it out myself, but I thought it was at least worth a mention. It's called the Accessibility Viewer Application Beta. So, yeah, check it out.
It's nice to see. Yeah, nice to see more tools that are doing more to check, you know, the DOM and ARIA, because so many sites nowadays, you know, have such heavy JavaScript usage.
Yeah, yeah. So seeing more and more of that, so that's good. And the Paciello group is always on the ball in that arena, especially.
Yeah. And then I came across a couple news articles that, you know, I thought were worth covering at jimthatcher.com. And he has taken a look at kind of government websites and what they're doing with accessibility and how closely they're following the Section 508, that sort of thing. And has an interesting article that's kind of comparing how government sites use skip links now compared to how they used them in the past and kind of, are they doing it right or are they doing it better, that sort of thing. Because I guess he originally wrote, you know, an article about how skip links were being used kind of a few years ago and then revisited it.
Mm.
So it's interesting to see what they've done with their skip links and how it's changed. So that's certainly worth looking at. And then he also wrote an article about how WhiteHouse.gov has been making strides to improve their accessibility. So that's pretty interesting. You know, we've ended up looking at quite a few government sites on this show and kind of evaluated how well they're being accessible and that sort of thing. So to see them, you know, making changes and becoming more accessible is always nice, just like your example earlier with the California government.
Mm-hmm. Good. I guess that takes care of the news and current events. So next up, we have an interview with DQ Systems, Dylan Barrel and Brian Kerr.
Brian Kerr actually works out of the same office as I do. He was a freelance developer and then joined on with DQ Systems and works remotely. Dylan Barrel from DQ was the contact he had there, and they are a company that does accessibility tools and consulting, and they're working on a new tool called FireEyes.
Cool. That's a Firefox plugin that you'll be able to get very soon, and I think it is just going into beta right now. So check out the links on the show notes and check it out. So here it is. Dennis and myself and Ross and Dylan and Brian. We have two more people on the line. We have Dylan Barrel and Brian Kerr. Welcome, guys.
Thank you, Dennis. Great to be here.
Hello.
Hey, Brian. Dylan, glad you could join us on our another Skype WebEx conversation. So I guess we'll go to Dylan first. You are VP of Product Development, right? I understand at DQ Systems. And can you tell us a little bit about yourself and the company?
Yeah, so I'm VP of Product Development, but that doesn't stop me from fixing bugs and writing code. We're a small company, we've been around for a long time in the accessibility space. I think we're one of the first companies to create automated test tools, and we do in addition to our products, which do a lot of automated testing, we do a lot of services to help companies actually remediate and fix their web applications, websites, etc. So we've been around since 2000, I think, was when the company was founded.
Oh, okay.
DQ actually does consulting work with companies that have accessibility needs?
Yes, we do. So we're companies about half-half consulting and products. And I myself, I'm a computer science graduate, grew up in South Africa, and I'm just about to go to the World Cup.
That's awesome. So I know Brian's in Ann Arbor. Are you in Ann Arbor, Michigan?
Yeah, I'm in Ann Arbor as well. Live in Ann Arbor. Have been for the last 10 years.
Oh, okay. And Ross is in Ann Arbor, of course. And I used to be in Ann Arbor. So go blue. No.
Go blue.
But anyways, so the reason we have DQ Systems on this podcast is because they're about to launch the Firefox add-on for helping test web accessibility, which is awesome. And let's see. So Brian, can you just give us a little background on yourself? How long you've been with the company?
Yeah, sure. I'm actually a new employee. So prior to working for DQ, I was a computer science dropout, and then I have a human computer interaction degree, stuff like that. And then basically, I just came in on a contract to start working on this particular product. So I did that for a while, and then I came on as an employee. So I think since about kind of February, March, we ramped this up. And so I actually don't know that much about, DQ Systems, the company. But in terms of what's going on in kind of DQ Labs and this project, that's sort of, that's pretty much all I've been working on, both, in terms of my own attention and also like as an employee of the company. I've just been, in Ann Arbor for, over a decade, and, it's kind of, it's kind of funny. I think they Dylan and I are here, and like a lot of the other, Dylan, like how many people are in the main office in Reston, like versus being distributed elsewhere?
I don't actually know. I go there so infrequently, but I think it's about 10 people that are in that office, and then the rest of them are working on site at customers.
Uh huh.
But I don't really know.
So FireEyes is the name of this add-on, right? Correct?
The name of the product is actually called WorldSpace FireEyes. WorldSpace is kind of the product suite name for all of the DQ, or most of the DQ products. And this is kind of one of the suite of tools that we make available for developers and content creators.
Oh, okay. So can you tell us about these other tools just briefly?
Well, this is a little bit of a different tool from the other ones because this is the first one that we're actually making available for free. So it's going to be a free download that anybody can use. The idea being that, you can only really get rid of the accessibility issues if you kind of get it at the source of where the applications are being created. So that's really our aim here, is to get this out there and get it in the hands of as many developers and designers as possible. So that's why we're giving it away for free. But we have a lot of other products that integrate into things like Dreamweaver, into Eclipse, into products like Quality Center from HP. So we have a lot of plugins that integrate the functionality, the WorldSpace functionality, into the places that they used, that are best when used by developers, by content creators, or by quality assurance engineers.
Okay. And let's see. Today's Friday. Go ahead, Ross.
Oh, yeah. So I'm not sure if we covered this or not, but, you know, FireEyes is a plugin for Firefox, but more specifically for Firebug. It's an add-on for Firebug, which is a popular web developer plugin. I was curious, what was the decision process to kind of end up at using Firebug as kind of the platform versus, you know, building something cross-browser or something specifically for Firefox but didn't depend on Firebug?
Well, the biggest decision factor there, I mean, when we started this out, and Brian will tell you this as well, we, you know, the first version of this was a Firefox extension. The reason we did it as a Firefox extension, first and foremost, is there's certain things you can do inside the browser, you know, in the trusted mode as an extension that you cannot do in any other way. So that was the reason that we made it an extension. And the reason that we made it a Firebug extension was because first of all, Firebug is the most widely used developer tool out there for developers of web applications.
Right.
So we knew that everybody was using it anyway. And secondly, a lot of the functionality we knew that people need when they're fixing accessibility issues, Firebug already provides. So if we'd have done it as a standalone extension, we'd have had to duplicate a lot of the functionality that Firebug has. So we decided, well, everybody we're aiming this at already has Firebug, and, you know, it provides a lot of stuff that we would have had to develop ourselves. So why not just do the additional stuff? So develop the stuff that's kind of unique to what we do, the accessibility functionality, and then integrate it with the functionality that Firebug provides.
Yeah, it seems like that's a great approach. I mean, not just from the duplication standpoint, but just kind of having it all in one tool. I mean, I tend to switch between Firebug and then the web developer toolbar. And, I mean, it's not a huge hassle, but it's kind of inconvenient to have to use one or the other versus having everything all in one place.
Yeah, and that's exactly what we thought as well. You know, that better to make it integrated in there and, you know, inside the tool everyone uses. And we've tried to develop most of the code such that we could do a similar thing for Chrome or a similar thing for Internet Explorer in the future. But in the end, a lot of the code is still very dependent. And we may make it available, you know, in other browsers in the future.
Do you think that is this going to be released as an open source project at some point?
Right now, we've decided not to. We talked about that a lot. We wanted it to be free. I mean, that was most important to us. Is we didn't want there to be any barriers to somebody using this and somebody be able to get the benefit from the product. DQ hasn't done a lot of open source stuff up until now, and so it was a little bit of a big hurdle for us to go that extra step. And we may open source it in the future, but for now, we've decided not to.
So it's Father's Day weekend. I'm not sure how soon, you know, I'm going to get the podcast up, but I understand next week you're actually going to be releasing the product. Can you tell us specifically when and where people can get it?
Well, the product's officially going into official beta next week, and you know these days, you know, the beta is the new release. You know, it's like 40 to 30, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, our first beta, which means basically it's almost production level code. I mean, you know, there's obviously going to be bugs in it, and there's a lot of features we wanted to implement which we haven't done yet, and we will. So it's going to go into beta in the middle of next week, which is around, you know, 23rd, 24th, somewhere around there. It's going to be released on our website. So if you
Of June, of course.
So for those people who are listening to this sometime, who knows, in the future.
I'll try to get the podcast out.
2010.
Yeah. Hopefully I'll get the podcast out by at least Wednesday.
And then we're going to be doing a series of betas before, you know, we call it the first official production release. So there'll be At least one more, maybe two more, three more betas where we'll be adding features and adding capabilities and fixing bugs, of course, before the product goes into release, official release one.
Okay, and where will people be able to get it?
People will be able to download it in DQ.com. That's www.dequee.com /worldspace-fireeyes. So if you go to that URL, you'll be able to sign up and download the plugin.
Okay, and of course we'll put all the links on the show notes.
Yeah, I'd love to hear some of the features. For those that don't know, Brian actually works in the same office that I do. So I've kind of been able to hear him talk about some of the things it does, and really does some pretty amazing things that no other accessibility testing tool that I've seen even comes close. But I'm not sure kind of what features have been finished and added or not. So, I mean, what are some of the top highlights in terms of what the tool does?
Brian can maybe talk about his favorite features, as a developer. But there's some things that we've done that haven't been done at all by any plugins or by any products, not just accessibility products. I think the important thing for us is we wanted, we feel like accessibility has been treated like a kind of the redheaded, child, or stepchild. In that, there are products, there have been products out there, but they haven't been very easy to use. And so we wanted to focus on ease of use as the first thing. We wanted this to be really nice and interactive and good to use and easy to use. That was one of our first priorities. So even though some of the features that we have are in other plugins or in other products, we felt like we took that usability a step further. So the fact that we overlay every element that has issues in the browser, so you can see if you're sighted, of course you can see that overlay in the screen, and you can interact with that between that and the issues that appear in the plugin UI itself. All the way to the ability to dynamically filter, based on tag types and issue types and all sorts of things, so that you can really dynamically look at the list of issues, events, and changes that you've captured inside the plugin. We've just tried to make it interactive, responsive, and easy to use. That was the first thing. Second of all, there isn't a product out there which can really do dynamic analysis, so that as things are happening, JavaScript is changing the page, we monitor everything that's going on, and we look for patterns. So we can, for example, detect when modal content appears on the page and the focus doesn't go back after that modal content disappears. We can detect that sort of thing going on in the browser, and we can tell the developer, hey, that you should have, after this modal content went away, you should have reset the focus to this element. Because that's what the user is expecting. So there's certain things there that we can do based on our monitoring all of events and changes and things going on in the browser that nobody can, nobody has done up until now in any type of product at all. So I'll hand over to Brian. He hasn't said anything now, but maybe he can talk about some of the features he thinks are really cool as a developer.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think, the way to think about it is that, this is something that, like you install it, get it set up, and then it's basically just part of, Firebug. And so like any page you're working on, you just make sure that Firebug is enabled. And, your sort of entry point to actually using it is, you can basically turn on this checkbox that says, please check for, various accessibility, issues or potential issues. Just as I interact with this, website or web app. What it'll end up doing is it actually can also record all of the events that that you go through. So in other words, as you go to kind of log into your web app or, search into a search box and, Ajaxy things are happening on the page, FireEyes will actually do sort of analysis in the background if you ask it to, but I mean, that's the mode I like to use it in. It'll do this analysis in the background and just generate, giant list of these, issues, violations, potential issues, because some of them you have to, verify manually. And for me, as somebody who's sort of, Well, I mean, you know, the sort of the biographical sidebar, I feel like it's worth mentioning is that, you know, I have a hearing impairment. So I wear like hearing aids and I have all this junk that I have to wire up in order to, for example, like get on a podcast or talk on the phone. So, you know, I'm sort of cognizant of some of that stuff that, you know, is just sort of like a kind of a frame that you bring into using the computer or like interacting with other people's, software or applications. And the thing that I really like about FireEyes is it's sort of like this, it gives you the sense of just accumulating all of these different issues, and telling you what they are, you know, where they are in the source code. And it's a combination of some things that are easy to get from other products where, you know, like you can just do a sort of static analysis and look at the markup on the page and say, hey, you know, this markup is wrong, or like, you know, you need to, you're missing various, attributes, or you're not using them properly, you know, that kind of basic stuff. And then FireEyes will also do some of this more advanced stuff like the drag and drop and the color analysis and so forth. But the thing that I like about it is that you can just sort of tell it what kind of issues you want it to look for, and it'll accumulate them as you just use the web. And so, I mean, I've even gotten into the habit of, you know, just leaving it open while I'm like reading the news, you know, or like, reading magazine articles and so forth. Because it just gives you the sense of, here's an additional kind of layer of information about what's going on in this web document. And I really like that. And I mean, in terms of the bullet point features, I mean, there's all kinds of stuff, but I think what's special about it and what I've really come to like about it is just the sort of pattern of how easy it is to, once you get the software up and running, just go in, turn it on and see what issues get generated, you know, and it's obviously, it's really interesting. If it's something that you are personally responsible for, you know, like if it's something you're doing for your job or a contract or a side project or something. But it's also just interesting generically to just sort of see, you know, like what sites do better than others and what kind of issues are really, really prevalent.
Yeah, that would be cool, especially if you're in the web accessibility arena, you know, it'd be very interesting to see how all the different sites you use measure up.
Right, yeah. So that's one of the things that we really want to do with accessibility as a company, and me personally is accessibility is always something, testing is always something that's done extra at the end of the project, you know? And one of the key things about this product for us was we want to make it easy for developers to just have accessibility testing turned on, or QA engineers just install the plugin, and every time you test your product for features, it's testing for accessibility on the side, and you just click into the tab and now you see all the issues, and you don't have to do anything extra. That was the key. You don't have to do anything extra except look at the issues that it's generated for you.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So that's really, I think, you know, Brian nailed it on the head. That what this does is it also almost makes it more difficult not to go and fix those issues. And that's what we want to get to, you know, because that's when we, you know, end web, you know, as DQ's kind of tagline, ending website discrimination. That's how we do it, is when we make it more difficult not to do the right thing.
Good. Hey, Brian, can you tell us like the system requirements? Like obviously which versions of Firefox, and I came to find out before we started the interview, Java has to be running properly in Firefox.
Yeah. From my perspective, and I don't know, Dooling can stop me if this is something I'm not really supposed to say, but I mean, I feel like for this beta, that's actually one of the rougher parts of this. So what you need, and all of these requirements are on the website, which I guess we will have launched by the time this goes out. But the short version is you need, Firefox 3.5 or higher. So that's basically the current release or the previous kind of release that's out there. Mm-hmm. And you need to have Firebug 1.5, which is the current release. And you need to have Java runtime engine and set up so that you can run Java applets. The reason for that third thing is actually some of the so basically in order to keep the performance of all of this, because I mean it's almost ridiculous how much work that FireEyes is doing in the background. You know, if you do have this sort of what we call the automatic analysis, where it's always looking for issues just passively as you use the web. That, you know, that's actually in sort of a like multi-process kind of or multi-threaded kind of world. So that all of that can happen and your browser doesn't just lock up, you know? So basically you know, that's the need for Java. And so, once you get those things set up, it's pretty smooth sailing. Although, you know, I will confess it's a, you know, a little bit rough just getting that all set up at this point. I mean, for a lot of people, it's a really typical, you know, system configuration, but if you don't have it, then you have to go install like multiple plugins and stuff like that. And it works. We've done some, you know, cross-platform testing on, let's see, Windows XP and Windows 7 and a couple of different versions of, Mac OS 10. So it's reasonably cross-platform. I bet that somebody that understands the status of running Java, applets on Linux, better than I do could get it working on Linux. There's no reason it shouldn't work. I haven't really figured that out. So I'm kind of hoping that we can figure out how to do that. But if you meet those basic requirements, then it's something that just sort of could be part of your browser.
Yeah, it sounds like
big of a deal.
It sounds like something most developers would have set up already.
Right. That's what I was going to say. The type of person using this probably has those components or would know how to do it fairly easily. But kind of speaking to the one thing that Brian had mentioned, that how much work the application was doing, I think he was describing kind of the process of how they did the color monitoring, checking for, you know, color contrast and that sort of thing. And just the process that that went through, I was kind of amazed. And it sounds like it does all that in the background.
Yeah, no, the color analysis actually is not in the background. And the reason for that is, well, because we do analysis in the background automatically, what it does is every time anything happens, the DOM changes or some content gets updated in the page, we're analyzing that. And the color contrast analysis actually, in order to work correctly and in order to do the analysis with and without CSS and in order to do correctly find the background of the elements, actually has to modify the DOM. And if we did that in the background, it would continually be in an infinite loop. It would be doing the analysis, and that analysis would update the DOM, and so then we're trying to analyze that again. And so what we actually ended up doing is there is a version of the color contrast analysis which happens in the background, but it's a very kind of light version. But we have a color contrast button that you can hit, and it does the best color contrast analysis that's out there. It will even find the correct background and foreground contrast where the two elements, the background doesn't live in the same tree as the foreground element. So you basically have done absolute positioning in your document and you've positioned one element outside of its parent into another element. It'll find the correct background on that. It'll find the correct background on elements that actually have images in the back and calculate the contrast correctly. So if you've got an image, that's the background of something, it'll calculate the contrast in that correctly. And it does this correctly with CSS and without CSS. So, you know, Juicy Studios has a very good color contrast analyzer, but they can't do a couple of the things that we can do, for example.
Well, FireEyes
take into account transparent PNGs and that sort of thing?
It takes all of that into account, absolutely. Oh. Yeah, because we're actually, don't want to give away the secrets, but we're doing some really, really sexy stuff to figure out what the background is.
Yeah, I can see how that would be tricky. Well, FireEye sounds like a great tool. I want to wind down the conversation. Brian, did you have any last comments?
Not anything beyond this one point, which is I feel like we should mention that there's also something that is really kind of fun to play with, which is that you can so a lot of these issues, and this is something that's definitely unique to FireEyes, and it's also something that has been really hard to get working. But you know, it's kind of amazing. It's like science fiction that it exists, which is the ability to like freeze a page. And what that means is that you know a lot of accessibility issues can be located in stuff that's like a transient content. You know, so in other words, we have like a I think Dylan actually has a video on the website already about this, so you know, go kind of see how this would work. But you know, like if you're typing something into a search bar and it auto completes using AJAX, and then once you submit the search form, that auto completion goes away. Well, FireEyes can actually like find issues in that But you can also have it replay to that specific issue and then leave, and then basically just reuse the entire document so that you can then go and actually inspect that in Firebug and see what the markup, you know, is that came out of it.
Very cool.
And yeah, so it's like that sort of thing where it's like, it's actually pretty decent for just, you know, figuring out when those issues kind of appear and disappear from the page, right? There's just so many, I mean, I'm very guilty of this as somebody who was primarily a web developer before I started working on this web development tool, you know, of creating those sort of effects where, you know, something that's, you know, it's only on screen for a couple of seconds. And, you know, before FireEyes, I mean, there was really no way to tell whether that's accessible without asking somebody, which is always, I feel like, you know, that's always the best way to find out, but it's not, you know, it's not always practical, especially for somebody who's just, you know, doing the weekend project. So, that's all I got. I'm really excited about it.
Okay. Dylan, any last words?
No, I think, you know, we really want the community to get engaged with this product, and we'd love to hear, you know, as I said, we wanted to make it easy to use. We wanted to make it engaging, and we wanted to push the envelope, and we just love to get feedback from the whole accessibility community on how we've done, where we've hit the mark, where we've missed the mark, and where the envelope needs further pushing, because that's what we want to do with this product, is we want to push the envelope. So, you know, just a request out there to everybody to download it, use it, criticize it. You know, if you want to love it, then love it and help us make it better.
Yeah, feedback is very important. So where will they be able to give feedback?
Once again, on our website, we will have a forum where they can post comments and get back to us.
Okay, great. Ross?
I guess my final thoughts would just be that it's been pretty fun to just kind of hear the story of how this tool evolved. You know, again, kind of Brian has been working on it out of the same office as my company. So from him kind of describing this project that he might be part of to the point where it's actually about to be released has been pretty cool.
Yeah, it sounds exciting. So yeah, I'm looking forward to using it. I just gotta fix my little Java issue and I'll be on my way. So, well, thanks for joining us, you guys, and for taking the time, Brian and Dylan. And
thank you very much, Dennis. Thanks, Russ.
Thanks, guys.
Find the WebEx podcast and blog at webex.blogspot.com. That's WEBAXE.blogspot.com.